The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, a fine pearl, a net thrown into the sea that collects fish of every kind. These words, taken from today's gospel, have Jesus meeting his followers where they live, offering them concrete examples of heaven. We might say the kingdom of heaven is like a family gathered, eating, laughing, the barbecue fired up, the sun shining. Or the kingdom of heaven is like Homeboy Industries, the gang rehabilitation program created by Father Greg Boyle, where second, third, fourth, fifth chances are given freely, because that's what God does. The kingdom of heaven is like the wedding feast at Cana, where the mother of the bride stands in utter amazement as fine wine miraculously appears. Kathy Coffey describes this scene in her book, Hidden Women of the Gospels. Ancient enemies were dancing together. Young people were flirting, and it seemed contagious. Their parents were looking at each other, misty-eyed. People were relaxed, yet seemed to care more intensely. Surely this impossible combination came from another hand than mine. Or the kingdom of heaven is like Los Angeles Catholic workers who risk arrest to join hospitality employees in their bid for fair wages and decent working conditions. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the kingdom of heaven is right here and right now, and the kingdom of heaven awaits us. On Sunday afternoons after my mom died, my dad would ask what I thought she was doing in heaven. I would always smile and not say anything. I didn't have an answer. He was a man of deep faith, who in his 100 years on this earth never opened a theology book, but understood many of the same things I studied. His faith came from a lifetime of seeking God, a lifetime of experiencing God, and heaven for him meant being with his wife of 70 years and with God. When there's a death in the family, as in all other families, there's always a little one asking about heaven, and there's always a moment of discomfort. How do you honestly answer that question? In an age-appropriate manner, the answer begins something like, "Nobody knows for sure, honey," and then continues with words about beauty and peace and resting with God. To talk of heaven, to speak of heaven, is to speak of God. And while we have many descriptions of God, it remains the ultimate mystery. Each of us carries God in our hearts and in our minds in an intimate and personal way. As God is unique to each of us, we are unique to God. Today's readings also carry the theme of wisdom, that unmeasurable quality gained through life experience and knowledge. Solomon was a wisdom figure for his time. We hear in the first reading how he responds when God offers him anything he desires. Jesus is a wisdom figure for our time. My dad was a figure of wisdom in his time. This kind of wisdom comes from a life lived in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven among us. I can say with no qualms that most of the wisdom I have gained in life has come from raising 5 children. They taught me what it means to love, really love, during good times and troubling times. One day, out of the blue, it dawned on me that if God loves me as much as I love my children, worries and fretting could be set aside. Knowing God as a parent was and is a game changer. God will take care of me, of us, just as we take care of our children. Maybe not as we expect or not as we have planned, but in the end, God will be with us as a parent is with their child, loving unconditionally. Today, we talk about and we wonder about heaven. Tomorrow, we celebrate the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola, a wise man who suffered much in his pursuit of God, but turned his suffering into a practice that remains meaningful and life-giving today, 500 years later, the spiritual exercises. He desperately wanted to share his journey to God and thank heavens for us that he did. Ignatius intended the spiritual exercises to help a person gain the wisdom to know themselves and their deepest desires more clearly, and to know Jesus in a deep and personal way, and then to translate all of that into service for others. For St. Ignatius, living in the love of God and service to others went hand in hand. Ignatius, who experienced rejection from some of the highest quarters of the church, would surely see heaven as a place awaiting those on the margins. His initial work was with people on the streets. He knew and he understood firsthand the cry of the poor. Heaven's often referred to as paradise, a place of perfection, beauty, and peace. I hope all of that is true, but I also hope that heaven is a place where the ultimate wisdom of the Holy Spirit reigns, where there really is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, because we will all be one in Christ. I hope it's a place where gang members and socialites converse, a place where women preach and are involved in all seven sacraments, a place where the LGBTQ community is part of the fabric, and a place where immigrants from everywhere feel at home. Maybe heaven is a gathering of the communion of saints around a very long table.